Talk. I'm Dick Griffith. We're working through 1 John. And in 1 John, there are five chapters. And chapter 5, which we haven't gotten to yet, don't get out of line here. We're going to talk about chapter 4. But chapter 5 tells us that these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. And for those of you that have been following this along, you're probably tired of me saying this, but I never know who might be jumping in the middle of this. So these things, what things? Those things that John writes in his book, 1 John, the epistle, that says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. You don't have to worry. It's not a maybe. You can know if you're in or you can know if you're out. There's no in between. You don't walk halfway across the cross of Christ and then decide to change your mind and go back. You either believe in what he did for you on the cross or you don't. So John is the beloved disciple. He continues to assure us in our relationship in God. We can know because we are in Christ and he is in us. Now that's profound, that little two-letter word in. And when anybody out there fully understands it, let me know. I'll have a cup of coffee with you because I need you to teach me. Because the full ramifications of what it means to be in Christ and for Christ to be in us, I don't think can be realized in this life. It's a promise for the future. But each of these chapters has a test of true Christian faith. And so if you think to yourself, oh, that makes sense, I believe that, then you're probably, according to John, as he writes in chapter 4, you're probably one of his children. Or maybe you need to ask yourself some questions about yourself, because only you, in your heart of hearts, knows what's going on inside you. There's no attempt here to judge anybody. I have no capability, ability, or desire to judge anybody. Nobody gave me a gavel and said, guilty, not guilty. But we can be discerning. We can sort through the spirits, the scripture says, and discern truth and try to observe this is the kind of thought process, the kind of behavior, the kind of evidence that comes from someone that confirms that they're one of his children. So let's look at chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. This is lowercase s. Don't believe every thought, desire, motive. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Again, lowercase. This is not the Holy Spirit. Test the spirits, those influences that come your way. Test them to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So in that day when John was writing, there were a lot of folks that said, you know, this didn't really happen. This is somebody imagined this, or he was a ghost, or he never really lived, or he's still dead. All these false teachings about God. And those are the spirits that lead people astray, lead them off from the truth. But verse 2 says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Jesus Christ really came. For 33 years he lived, he walked this earth. He's eternal, eternal in the past, eternal in the future, because he's God the Son. But he came in the flesh, really did die. Hugely important. He didn't just faint or swoon on the cross. He really did die. The world's expert executioner was right there to stab him in the heart to prove that he was dead. And 3 days later, he was seen walking and talking and eating and touching and loving and preaching. And he walked this earth for another 6 weeks or so before he ascended into heaven. And bodily, his physical form. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't just a spirit. He really was there in physical form. This is critically important for people not only to understand, but to believe in and to trust in. That ascension, by the way, which is in another passage of Scripture, over 500 people were there to watch it. Lots of witnesses, lots of proof. So let's look at verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Now, you and I can't see God. And we have evidence, by the way, that many people saw God the Son, Jesus Christ, but we can't see God. Others can't see God, but what do they see? They can't see God, but they can see you. They can see you and I, and they can see how we live, and they can see what we're trusting in. They can see how we walk. They can see what's different about us that makes us attractive to the world around us, makes people curious to say, there's something different about that person. What in the world could it be? One commentator said that you and I, as believers, are the only Bible that some people will ever read. You know, a lot of people have Bibles, so they make good doorstops, but they never read them. Or if they read them, they don't digest it and absorb it and apply it. But they can see you, and they can see me. You may be the only Bible that some people will ever see. So how do we get a test of our relationship to God out of this? So look at verse 15 through 17. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. The question there is, what are you confessing? Are you confessing? What witness do you give? What testimony do you give? What direction do you point when people are talking about things that are important to them? Do you point toward Jesus Christ? So verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Somehow his love should be just oozing out of us, even when I'm tired, even when I'm grumpy, even when I've had a tough day. His love should be oozing out of me in some way that shows the people around me that he's real. By verse 17, by this is love perfected or made complete with us, so that we may have confidence. That's what we're looking for. Confidence shows that our love is mature. We may have confidence for the day of judgment. That day when we wake up on the other side of the grave, we know what's going to happen because the Holy Spirit is in us. We have been motivated to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We've been motivated to share that with others. And that gives us the confidence that we need to know that where we will be in the next life for the rest of eternity. We don't do these things as works that we might earn our way, get brownie points some credit for ourselves in that divine scoreboard. That's not why we do these things. We do these things because he is in us and because our motives are pure, and our motive is to serve him because he loved us first. We love him because he first loved us, as it says in another passage. Because he is so, this is the end of verse 17, as he is so, also are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is God's son. That's who he is. And so are we. We are God's children. As he is, so are we in this world. What is the test? Do I have confidence in the next life? And do I share that with someone else? Are you willing to testify? Are you willing to give evidence of your faith to someone else? Doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. Doesn't mean you have to have a long dissertation all prepared, but just to be able to say, I'm a believer. Or as we say in this church, I'm a follower of Christ, a Christ follower. He loves me. He cares about me. He motivates me. He gives me confidence about my life that's coming. God is not ashamed of you. Christ is not ashamed of you. Are you ashamed of him? Are you hesitant? So, Father, I pray that each one listening would not be ashamed of you, would not be hesitant to just share a word of truth, to point people toward a Bible passage or a book or an elder or a church staff member who can articulate to them what those people need to hear and see. We should all be ambassadors. We should all be reaching out to the world around us in a direct way that can't be missed to show that we love you and that what happens to us, we walk by faith knowing that whatever happens to us is according to your will. What a profound understanding and what a profound truth to share with those around us. We thank you, Father, and pray for the courage to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.